Ile is just starting her career as a solo artist, but Gabriel Garzón Montano, he's been doing it for a little while.
Do you worry about everything? Afraid you ain't got the tight game? Do you feel just a little too plain? Do you compare yourself to what's his name?
Gabriel Garzón Montano first appeared on the music scene in 2014, and he turned heads with his meticulous songwriting style, lush musical textures, and lots and lots of soul. Gabriel's first industry breakthrough happened that same year when he was invited to tour with Lenny Kravitz. Then he got attention for being sampled by Drake. Gabriel came out with his first full-length album in early 2017, and he joined me last summer to talk about it. Hey, Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You have this really interesting background. I mean, you're half Colombian, half French.
Yes.
So when people say, well, Gabriel, are you Latino? You say...
Sí. I say yes. It's nice to own that.
And when you were growing up as a Latino kid in New York City, did you feel like, hey, the world is my oyster, I can do whatever I want?
Yeah, but I didn't identify as Latino. By the good graces of conditioning, I thought I was a Caucasian male. That's kind of where I'd identified in my mind.
And why do you think that is?
Probably because I grew up like a middle-class kid. I went to good school. I traveled with my mother. I guess there were times when I felt distinctly un-American. The fact that I had family in France and in Colombia, that I went to visit them, and that I had these other worlds in my mind, and obviously three languages. But it never really occurred to me, for example, that I didn't listen to salsa music until I was 22. And then I was like, wait, I'm missing out on this whole thing that's been in me and my impulses and in my love of rhythms and in my facility with rhythms and picking up any drum or whatever. But I realized I hadn't delved into the canon or into the music that belonged to half of my heritage.
And you think that was because of what?
It seemed foreign. I started with pop music with the Beatles. And my mom played a lot of music from all over the world at home, but... I guess when it came to the stuff I was seeking out, it was the Beatles, Nirvana. It was more rock and pop music in the American and like English tradition, and then hip hop. And so it was very Anglo. Yeah.
So you have a new album. Actually, if I think I'm correct, the album title is Jardin.
Yep. I say it Jardin, but it's Jardin when it's written.
Okay, so that's what we were like playing with. It's like, you know, garden in French, but then if it's written J-A-R-D-I-N, it is Jardin in Spanish.
Well, if it's written J-A-R-D-I-N, it's both of them, but the accent on the I
so
is what really makes
accent,
it Spanish.
Oh, so it is Jardin.
It is Jardin, but I thought it was cool that...
It could be either.
That only that small difference makes it the word in Spanish, but it's really in both.
And this song right here, Crawl, is definitely one of my favorites.
A cactus, full bloom, work gloves for you. I'm a big red balloon. I love you.
Yeah, you know, you hear this and it's definitely like soul. You got that soul. Talk to me a little bit about that part of your musical sense.
So I guess I was doing a lot of singer-songwriting with just guitar, and it occurred to me that I wasn't funky enough. So I kind of quit playing music for a little while and just listened a lot. I had already discovered Prince when I was 15, or been shown Prince. You don't have to be beautiful. And when I was like 18 or 19, it was Sly and the Family Stone. It really blew my mind about how, what music can make you feel and how it sounds, and I just didn't grow up listening to that music. And so it blew my mind, and immediately I tried to copy both of them a lot. And then when I was shown D'Angelo, I thought, oh no. Because I didn't think there was anything past Prince in the lineage. And I was like, okay, great, what a wonderful opportunity to bring this back in a time when it's so needed. But it was just me being super sheltered and not having Googled enough stuff and not realizing that there was this whole world that was already moving with that and had gone beyond what I knew about the sound. So then D'Angelo was the next piece of the puzzle, and I listened to all that and I was like, oh no. I don't think I could ever take it further than that. And then I said, okay, I have to look somewhere else to innovate in this style, or to even just push it forward in a way that I feel is worthy. But yeah, it came out, the soul has just come out of listening and loving it and then trying to imitate heroes. I became obsessed with like decoding a language that I felt I had like stumbled upon, that wasn't really innate or hadn't really been taught to me growing up. And I was like, I want to get this funky. And then after, once it became such a game for the sake of getting that idiom down, I was like, all right, I need to make this more original and kind of mix in these other things that are definitely a part of me, so I don't feel like I'm stretching and playing in another universe or playing a game that doesn't belong to me. I need to play my own game and, you know, make my music.
When you talk about your music, a lot of it revolves around feeling. Like you love the fact that the music that you create is going to make somebody feel something deeply and intensely. Why this deep connection for you about the importance of the music that I make is about making you feel something?
I guess as you make decisions and as you start working on a piece of music, there's a mood that starts off more vague, and then you try to get more specific with it. And you control that mood by making certain calls or by taking something out or adding something. And that's what you have. That's kind of what you're playing with is the way somebody feels when they're listening to it. And you're kind of arranging all these things and making decisions and then performing in a certain way to achieve an outcome. And that's just to make somebody feel a certain way. And you control it to the best of your ability. And then by the end, it's just being delivered. And then it feels different for everybody.
One of the things I love about your process is that you actually love to write a lot of your songs when you're in the subway?
Yeah.
I love that. Talk to me about that, because a lot of people would be like, that's the last place where I could get any writing done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it hard to sit in my house and read. For some reason, it occurs to me that there's other things I could be doing in my home, which is something I want to work on. I want it to be a place where I can let go and have it be a temple. But anyway, the subway, you're very limited in your options of what you can do. You can stand, sit, listen, look. So I read. Usually in order to write lyrics, I have to read stuff that I think is like amazing. And then I start stealing it and start working with it. And so the subway just seems like a great place to do that. It seems like a great use of that time.
You've got this song called Bombo Fabrica, which has a Spanish-sounding name, kind of. Let's take a listen.
Something in the wind, it tastes so sweet. Time to eat again, a peach bite melody. Mama made it rain, milk and blood, so the funk is on 10. Never mind enough, I glow for you. I'm in the
It's just, and then it just moves and it kind of develops and it picks up and then it kind of goes back. But what's this song Bombo Fabrica about? Like, what was the process for this song?
So the title comes from, my dad is obsessed with Saul Steinberg.
And for those who don't know, Saul Steinberg is?
Is a cartoonist who kind of walked the line between cartoons and fine art. Did like 3 million New Yorker covers and... but basically my dad has a couple books, those big coffee table retrospectives, and I love this stuff. It gives me this whole world to dive into and just makes me feel like a kid again. And in one of the photos of his notebooks, it said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Bombo Fabrica. And I was like, yep. I just lifted that and put it in my notebook. And I was like, Bombo Fabrica. So immediately I think of a factory when I think fabrica. I love the fact that it was spelled with a K. It kind of reminded me of Russian or something. Right. And it makes it a little more like, you know how a lot of people do song title, or like how Prince would do like twos and fours and I and you. It just, you know, fake spellings of things with a Z. Not fake spelling, but alternate spellings. So fabrica is factory. Bombo is bass drum in Spanish. So I was like, bass drum factory. I was like, that sounds great. That sounds like a headquarters. That sounds like, like everyone has, you know, the mothership. People have their home bases or these places where their world comes from. And I thought that was a nice way to title mine. And the song is literally about the process of writing a song.
Oh.
About kind of feeling inspired and charged. Something in the air tastes so sweet. A peach bite melody. Like, I'm going to write a juicy melody. Mm. And then I'm nicest when I dream. I go. Purple clouds and teams float by my window. I cup them in my palms. They're my Play-Doh. Make a cherry bomb and set them back afloat. Just kind of talking about how... all the ideas are always floating around, and you just kind of grab what you can, and then you set it back out, and that's the process of creating.
And as you're thinking about your life as an artist, you know, where's this leading to? Because, you know, obviously people are like, well, you could blow up. You are blowing up. This is huge. So how are you processing all of this? Because you're only, what, 27? 27.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, nothing's going to push anything forward besides my ideas and my songs. So it's all about writing songs, which is really difficult for me. I feel like I don't know how to write a song every time I do.
So you're like standing there looking at that blank canvas, and you're in panic sometimes because you're like, I.
On days when I'm not as grounded, I do panic. Yeah, but I know there's an infinite amount of things waiting for me. You can't run out. But yeah, I just it's slow. It's slow And you got to stay optimistic and just keep creating.
And your biggest inspiration these days is?
The idea that I can love myself and be okay by myself is my biggest inspiration.
So what do you do to fulfill yourself? There's a lot of talk these days about what people are doing for self-care. You're talking about self-love. What do you do, like on a daily, that makes you feel grounded in your self-love? Give us some tips, Gabriel.
On good days, I'll sit for 20 minutes and set an alarm. Maybe I'll set it for 21 minutes and just breathe and close my eyes. Or I saw Russell Simmons talking about rum. You just say rum over and over. not out loud, but in your mind, mm-hmm. If the breath is not enough. And then just being kind to myself and non-judgmental when I don't do as well as I'd like to. I've developed a reflex of, like, punishing myself when I don't live up to my standards. But, like, what if this was my kid who just experienced a failure? You hug them and you say, it's okay. Just try again. But when it's yourself, it's very easy in the privacy of our experience to, you know, pay more dues than we need to unduly, like, castigate ourselves. And, yeah, it hasn't gotten me anywhere that I'm happy with, so...
Thank you for all of that and for, you know, allowing yourself to be an artist. We really appreciate you being in the world.
Thank you.
And congratulations for all of your success.
Thank you so much.
When you're hanging out with Drake, you can tell him, yeah, man, I've been on Latino USA, yo.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Atop
Gabriel Garzón Montano's debut album is out now on Stone's Throw Records. It's titled Jardin.